6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Let's get it. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless. So nobody's left out. These are the conversations I want my sons to access as they grow through life, so no topics are off limits. I'm your only host tonight. Jay Black is off, but we got an amazing guest, a repeat offender. Lamont Moore is in the building. What's good, my brother?
Good, man. How you?
I'm great, bro. Great, bro. Appreciate
happy
you coming.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. I guess we are 2 years over there. I haven't seen you since 22 or 23.
Yeah, it was 22.
It was 22?
So it's been 3 years.
Yeah, approaching.
Around this time, too.
Was it?
Yeah, it was either January or February.
Man. Your memory's better than mine. That means I've been at it for a little bit. Yeah. That means I'm serious. So like, share, and subscribe since I'm serious. Y'all do that for me. Share with your friends. Tell a friend to tell a friend. But we're serious about this. So again, we want to address some issues tonight, or some topics. I don't want to call them issues. Address some topics, kind of catch up with you since you've been away. And it's amazing how time really flies like that.
Yes.
3 years is...
Lots happened.
Yeah, a lot has happened in 3 years, man. So... Just as a basic check, man, how are you? I always want to make sure that people are in a good space before we get started. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man.
Yeah.
Feeling good, man. I mean, it's a new year.
Yeah.
New president. A lot of news.
You don't start there, huh?
I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. But I'm feeling good, man. Yeah. A lot of people I know were a little nervous right now.
Yeah.
But I feel good, you know. I'm ready for whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I'm feeling good.
And I get that, man. People have a right to their feelings, man. It's not up to me to validate or invalidate anybody's feelings. How you feel is how you feel. What I know is that the president has never made or broke me. I've never been taught to rely on a person, a man, let alone a government. So while I'm not so naive to think that nothing's changing, clearly things are changing. Things changed on the 19th, the day before, right?
Yes.
And things are changing daily. So I'm aware. But I know I serve a mighty God that's been the through line in my life. So
absolutely,
he wouldn't allow it if there wasn't a way of escape or a plan for his people. So as far as I know, I'm his people. I gotta check in with him tonight. See what's going on. But as far as I know, I'm his people, man. So let's kind of address the elephant, man. You. Like you said, you were on here 3 years ago, and we've had some exchanges. And again, I appreciate your support. I mean, he's definitely a supporter of the show. And, you know, and you can tell that he supports the show by his comments, because it's relevant and it's relative to what was in the show. So y'all stop faking. But that was a good show, what we talk about.
It was a good show.
I don't know. But we had that rapport, and then one day, I'm sure you can put a date on it, but several months ago now, you just sent me a picture. and was like, hey, man, I just had a kidney transplant. I'm like, congratulations, but how do we get here? And we've never had that conversation.
So we haven't.
Let's kind of frame it for us.
So 2018, I was going in for some tests and ended up having to be in the hospital for a couple of days. I found out that I had kidney failure.
Wow.
And this was in 2018. And I was told that you're going to need a kidney at some point. Now, that was 2018. I started seeing a kidney doctor at that time. And so as I'm seeing the kidney doctor, you know, I'm finding out about kidneys, things that I didn't even know about the kidneys. And a lot of it is due to a history of high blood pressure. I'm already diabetic, but all those things factor in and they start to damage your kidneys. So as I'm seeing the kidney doctor, I'm being told that you're going to either get a transplant or you're going on dialysis. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll just deal with this when it happens because I feel fine. You know, I'm taking medicine. I'm living a normal life.
You're taking medicine for your diabetes?
And my kidneys.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm seeing a kidney doctor, but I'm seeing him like every 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, that turns into every 3 months. It turns into every month.
Right.
And so we fast forward to like, I guess when COVID hit and, you know, he's like, you know, you can get a donor, but you know, you're getting close.
Yeah.
But I'm still feeling fine and I'm just usually going in for a blood work. And so he tells me, you know, where my kidneys are. And if they get below this level, you're going to have to go on dialysis if you don't have the kidney. And I just at one point said, will this kill me? He said, yeah. And so I said, you know, what do I need to do? He said, you need to get a kidney, get a donor. And I'm not telling anybody except for my wife. No friends. I'm like, nobody knows. And I'm even going to the doctor sometimes, not even telling my wife. So it's just me and God in this whole thing. And at no time did I feel like I wasn't going to get a kidney. And so we fast forward to 2022. I'm asking my doctor, you know, how can I get on the list to get a transplant? Because now I have all this knowledge of, you know, what's going on with my kids. I'm really like engulfed myself into it.
Right.
And I'm like, well, do I have to be on dialysis to get a kidney? He said, no. So I have to go through all these tests. They check my insurance, you know, a series of things before I can even get on the list. So past that, they call me, you're on the list. I'm like, okay, what happens now?
Yeah.
So can I get a kidney tomorrow? They're like, no. Like, you know, if a kidney comes up, we'll call you. Like, I did all this and I still don't get a kidney.
Right.
So that was 22.
But hold on, let's pause there. Did they prep you for what the expectation would be when you get a call? Or you just, the extent of the conversation is, if we find one, we'll call you.
That's it. Now, that's on me because I should have asked.
Right.
But because, I mean, I'm still living a normal life. I'm traveling. I got a kid in college. I got a kid that plays basketball. We're traveling with her. We're in New York. I've been to tons of places in the midst of all this happening.
Yeah.
So May 29th, 2024, I get two calls. I work from home. I miss both calls. I wake up, normal day, about to go to work. Look at my phone, Medical City. So I call him back, lady, verify my name, my address, all of this. And I'm like, yeah, this is Lamont Moore. She said, well, we have a kidney for you. I'm like, you do?
Do tell.
I'm like, okay. And so she's like, we have a kidney for you. She's kind of rambling through. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I got to work today. So let me schedule something for next week. So I was like, okay. I said, well, let me schedule something for next week. And she says, no, you got to get here today. She said, and she was a black lady. She's like, no, baby, you got to get here today. We're doing this at 12 o'clock noon. I was like, today? I'm thinking to myself, like, I want the kidney, but now I'm really like,
yeah,
whoa, today. So I go wake my wife up. I'm literally throwing stuff in a backpack. We didn't even tell our daughters. We just jumped in the car and got to Medical City. Mind you, I live in Arbery. So that's like an hour drive without
to
traffic.
Arlington?
No, Medical City in Dallas.
Okay. Okay.
Get there, and I swear it felt like time just flew by. Because they didn't prep you. They still do all these checks because, you know, your diabetes got to be right. Your blood pressure got to be right. I mean, I'm signing forms. In the midst of that, now I got to tell my family, you, my friends.
Yeah.
I'm literally texting people on the way to the hospital. And so people are calling me back like, kidney what? Kidney who? It was a lot going on that day.
Yeah.
And really, to sum it up, got in. They give you all of the pros and cons. You know, and it's the least thing is you could die from this procedure. The worst thing is, you know, the kidney rejects, so your body rejects the kidney.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, there's a very low percentage of me dying.
Right.
However, you know, what if my body rejects the kidney?
Yeah.
It's a 5-hour surgery. They took me back, and my wife said it was about 8 o'clock before they saw me. It was like from 12 to 8. So they were panicking. Like, but in hospitals, you have shift changes. And so that's, I got caught in the shift change. So I come out, of course, I'm in recovery, but they're telling my wife, you can't see him right now. Like half my family's there. So I come out, wake up, and I literally wasn't in pain. I was sore.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in any pain, man. I was like, I woke up like, oh, man, I'm a little groggy. You know, I'm sore, but. And
wow,
kidney.
So it, like, during that 8-hour period, how much of that time did you spend by yourself? Because I had a major surgery back in 2021, and the 2018 piece is interesting too, because that's when I found out I was diabetic, and that's when my lifestyle changed. So I want to go back to that in a minute. But did you have any moments between prep and your wife being there and time that you just had to be alone waiting for whatever was going to happen? And what was that period like? Or do you even recall?
I do recall. So I didn't have any time where I was by myself.
Okay.
My wife was there with me throughout the whole prep.
Okay.
And doctors are coming in. They're telling you, you know, what's going to happen in recovery. You know, they're still getting vitals. When they got me in the bed to roll me to surgery, I mean, I think that was the last time I saw my wife.
Yeah.
So, but I mean,
you sleep
they,
after
the, yeah. Yeah, they had given me the good drugs.
Some good sleep. Good
man,
sleep,
I was out of there, and I don't even remember anything. I remember laying back and just looking at the ceiling rolling by, and I was out of there. And I mean, they woke me up, but my wife said, they said, we're going to let him sleep a little longer because we had to shift change, but he's fine. You know, he's in recovery. I had to spend the night in ICU, and then the next day, took him to my room.
So let's talk about like the temperament of your wife, if it's not too intrusive, like how important was she to you through the process specifically that day?
Very, but it was very stressful for her, which I found out afterwards, but she was just holding it together for me. I owe a great deal of my recovery to her and my daughters because they were pretty much in the dark about it for the most part. And because she had to really just carry this with me and not tell anybody, I know it was a lot for her.
Yeah.
It was a lot for me, but I know for her, because now she's got to literally take care of me and the house and the daughters. And I didn't mention this too. The day before I got the call, we had purchased my oldest daughter a car. So I had the surgery Wednesday. She had to leave me at the hospital and go get the car, all of this stuff. So that week for her was probably like, she probably was like, yeah, I'm about to leave this joker. Like, he got too much going on. But she thugged it out. I owe her a vacation this year.
Absolutely.
We haven't like picked one, but last year I was like, what do you want? She's like, you taking me somewhere.
Somewhere.
Like you owe me a trip somewhere. I mean, we vacation a lot anyway, but I mean, like, this one, like, we got to really do something. Because, and even from that point up until, I guess, me really getting back into the flow of things, it was like the whole summer that I was like in recovery. It was like 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
So, and I can't drive. I can't lift nothing heavy. If I go outside, I got to wear sunscreen. I mean, it was just a lot because I don't have an immune system. So the slightest anything will, like, I'll be probably sick in the hospital. Not to mention I got doctor's appointments like around the clock.
Yeah. How did that impact you mentally? Because I know what my health challenges, when I haven't been able to be the man that I'm used to being, over time, it took me to a dark place. Like, how did you?
It was a very dark place for me because I have two daughters and a wife. So I'm like
the man
in the house. Yeah. And of course the dog coming and I run the house. For me, I think it was just feeling like I wasn't like in charge because they all let me be the man of the house. And they show it like the littlest thing. They like, come do this, come do that. And I like being
showing up.
Yeah. You know, it's an honor for me because, you know, I have girls and so they rely on me to do stuff, which I love to do. So it was like trying to stand up in the shower, trying to walk. And this was the first time that I had to just sit back and let them literally take care of me. It was little stuff like water and get me a pillow, get this. But they were like, you know, because they've never seen me like this.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really talked to my daughters to see like how they were. I think they were just because they didn't even see me. Surgery was Wednesday. They didn't even see me till like Saturday.
And your oldest was going off to college soon thereafter.
So
right?
No, she was already in college. She was home for the summer.
Duh.
So, you know, and she just got a car. So we couldn't really like celebrate that because like what I had going on just like took the rest of the summer over.
Let's go back to the 2018 when you found out you kind of referenced a few times that you were still living life, still traveling, still doing this. Like, what are you looking back on it? What would you have done differently? And what do you attribute your actual approach to?
Well, I would have told people, especially my family.
Yeah.
Because having to tell them that at the moment of getting it was hard. And the doctors were also pressuring me to talk to my siblings. So I have a sister and I have three brothers. And they were like, they are perfect donors.
Yeah.
And I just, and I've said it to them individually and collectively together. Like, I just, for me, it was just a lot to say, give me a kidney.
Yeah.
But my brothers mainly were like, man, we could have went. You know, because it's so easy. You know, none of my brothers live here. But with technology now, they can go where they live, test, take their kidney, send it here, or they can come here and do it. I mean, it's so many different ways now, man, like technology and like with their jobs, they would have given them time off to heal because of that. But it was just, and it wasn't so much as a pride thing because I think they know. I definitely would have done it for them, but I was just like, I just can't ask them that. And they're like, man, I'd have did it in a heartbeat. But I mean, to answer your question, like, I think that was just like the biggest thing, man. Like, tell people, because I had people tell me, man, I would have prayed for you, man. I would have, you know, and that wasn't even in my mind. I was just, I think it was probably more of being concerned with people judging me and saying like, man, you out here living, doing this and flying to Chicago and Miami and you need a kidney. And so I guess I was just like, I'm gonna just keep this to myself, because at no time that I didn't think I was going to get a kidney. And not to sound cocky, I was just like, I feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know when, you know, and I think getting on the list really kind of solidified, okay, I'm on this list. I'm one step closer.
When you were going through the process of waiting, were there things, were there recommendations for you to change in your lifestyle? Did you adopt them immediately? And I'm asking because I'm guilty. Like this bout last year that I've had with diabetes, not that it went away, but I had it under control in 2018. Like, it was a shock to me. Mm-hmm. So I changed my lifestyle completely. And I really had it under control with diet and exercise.
Right.
Fell off the wagon, stopped going to the doctor. And then this time the symptoms are worse and different. Like what is kind of tapering off now, I never felt before. So this time was a little bit scarier, and the ability to change and pivot like I did before, it's more painful now to do that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, like once you do, like you pass the test, you can pass it again.
Right, right.
But if your body is different, you're older, and it's not, you know,
it's harder.
It's harder. So what are there? And I'm asking because hopefully somebody that's listening, I know somebody that's listening is either diabetic, high blood pressure. Like it's typical for that to be in our circle, in our community. Oh, yeah. So are there things looking back that you could have done differently? And we'll get to how you change your lifestyle now, but are there some, I guess, cautionary tales that you can share with those that may be at the beginning stages of, even if it's not kidney related, if it's just a potentially dire situation, how do you react to it?
So my doctor said, I think that was one of the things that kept me from going into dialysis. I kept my weight down.
Okay.
In the midst of seeing the kidney doctor, I'm still seeing my regular doctor.
Okay.
So I like went cold turkey, like you said, on sweets. I stopped eating past like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Unless it's, popcorn, something like that. Drinking water. But most importantly, if I felt any ways differently, I'm calling the doctor. Hey, I think I had a headache too long, because you never know until you go to the doctor. And that's the biggest problem with men in general. I'm not going to say African, because I've spoken to people, you know, white, and we just don't want to go to the doctor unless we just absolutely have to. But I changed. I wouldn't say a whole lifestyle change, because I was still eating what I wanted to eat. I was just cutting back and not eating as much.
Gotcha.
And my body got conditioned to the point where I didn't even crave for that stuff like I used to.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of wean yourself off of it.
Yeah.
Exercising is another thing. I tell people now, man, go get you a glucose machine.
Mm-hmm.
You can check your sugar, get your blood pressure, check your blood pressure, because I do know that for years I probably was walking around living a normal life with high blood pressure.
Yep.
Because that's how I got here. And you can get to where you're functioning. You know, people say, oh man, it's a functioning alcoholic. You could be a functioning, like, unhealthy person.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at one.
Yeah.
So gradually, you know, cut back on things, because nobody can say, man, I just stopped drinking Cokes one day. I mean, maybe
so. Yeah, yeah.
But your body will definitely start doing crazy stuff because it's used to those certain things. So gradually cut back, start going to the gym. But I think because I knew what bad habits I had.
Yeah.
So I could knew it, like, I need to stop eating late. You know, you eat, you know, you eating to get so full till you just like sleepy, you know. I mean, get a 8 ounce steak, not a 16 ounce steak, you know. Eat more, get more veggies,
more
eat
grains,
salads. Yeah. I knew what I could do to get myself healthy. Now, I wasn't doing this to say I'm gonna get so healthy too I won't need a kidney, because I already know I'm gonna have to get one. But I'm just trying to prolong going on dialysis was my thing.
Yeah, I know folks that have been on dialysis. And
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The stories they tell, it just seems like such a draining process, no pun intended.
Yes.
But one of my best friends, I call my brother, from back home gave his dad a kidney. And this was, I think we were in our 20s when it happened. So life hadn't shown up like it has since then, where we'd be a little bit more mindful and understand the gravity of it and the seriousness. Of course, we understood it was a serious surgery. But when you're in the position where you're potentially the one needing it, or your organs are at risk, you start to appreciate it differently. So thank God that you had it. And thank God that you had family, though it didn't come to that, that would have been willing.
Yes.
What has changed since then?
You know, I think I look at life much differently now because, like you said, I've heard the horror stories of people being on dialysis, people losing their life. I had a buddy of mine who mom was too old to get the kidney, but she's on the kidney transplant. And he just told me flat out, he was like, man, my mom right now is going through this, but she's not going to get a kidney because, you know, for older people, they can't take the surgery. And I'm like, man, people don't really think about just waking up, being able to brush your teeth, put your clothes on, go in the refrigerator, get you something to drink. Like, we take those little things for granted. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, having to go through the surgery, come home, and my wife got to help me get up. My daughter got to go get me something to drink. Yeah. So being able to really just get up and walk to the door and open the door is big, you know?
Yeah.
And you start looking at things and you start saying, man, I'm not saying I'm going to wait and do this next year. Like, if it's something I can do, I'm going to do it today.
I completely get that, man. When I had a surgery unexpectedly in 2021, we drove from here. For those that are listening or watching, we're in Dallas, the Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas. I'm from the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. So that's about 23-hour drive, depending on how you get it. So we took a few days, and the trip wasn't overwhelming because we broke it up. We stopped and saw, you know, my brother-in-law, his family, and we kind of moseyed our way there. But I was having issues up until then. And I was calling it something else, right? It got so bad to where that summer I had to start going to, I didn't have to. I started going to a chiropractor just to be able to walk for a day.
Wow. Like,
I wake up in the morning and I'd have to make a decision about going to the bathroom because it was so painful, like standing up.
Wow.
And I wasn't telling my wife, just like you. So when you said, I was like, man, why are we like this?
Yeah.
But I wake up in the morning and literally be leaned up against the wall crying, praying like, God, I don't know what this is.
Wow.
And I'm not a person that goes to the doctor either. So, it was like, oh, I pulled something.
Yeah.
It'll be fine in a few days. It was that kind of thing. But this was I had a disc that was bulging and pushing on my spine.
Ooh.
So the adjustments were giving me temporary relief, but I wake up the next day. Anytime that I laid flat and got up, like laid flat for like sleeping for hours and stood up, it was a project. And it got to the point where we were in Virginia that I'm sitting in my parents' house in tears, looking at my father like, can you pray for me? Cause I mine ain't getting through. I don't know what's going on. I can't take life right now.
Right.
Is where I was. So thankfully, because my sister is in the medical system, one of the major medical systems in Virginia, it was at a time, cause it was just after, it was during COVID.
Okay.
This is 2021. So
COVID, yeah, you're right, still in the height of it.
So you can't just call to get an appointment unless you're dying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to get an MRI to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Go to get the MRI, show up. Seems like I'm getting it. They reject it. They call the hospital. They call my insurance. My insurance rejected it. Say, you got to get an X-ray first. So I get an X-ray knowing that they're not going to be able to tell anything from the X-ray, but it's just the process. Thank God we were able to get, like I said, my sister's, I don't know who she was. I ain't gonna say she was cussing people out because she's a Christian. Yeah, she walking with the Lord.
She got it done.
But she got it done to where I was able to get fast tracked to get the MRI. And when I got the MRI, it gave me a sense of relief. I was still in pain, but I was like, at least we know where it's going.
Yeah.
When they looked at the results of the MRI, the nurse was like, did anybody talk to you? I was like, no. She said, we're going to move you to surgery.
Like right away.
Today. We're going to go to surgery. Ooh. And typically like a pinched nerve or something like that, it's something you find out and it's get scheduled.
Yeah.
That's typically how it goes. But they said from the MRI that mine was so bad that it's a risk for you going home. So I from going to get an X-ray, I go to surgery. Right. And then they couldn't do it that night. They had to do it in the morning. So I couldn't eat. After that surgery, when you said you didn't feel a thing, man, I woke up and I was like, new.
Yeah.
I can stand up. I can go to the bathroom. My lowest point in my life in terms of being a man was when my wife had to assist me to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm graphically, I mean, hold something so I can use the bathroom in it.
Yeah.
That's where I was in life.
Yeah. I was that way in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was rough. And I, listen, I totally get it. But for you in going through all of that, like mentally, where were you? Because I know for me, you know, I knew it was coming, but to get that call and say, get here today was like, wow.
So it was tough in a sense that it really drove home how sensitive and how fleeting life is.
Yeah.
I was taking a lot for granted. I mean, work-wise, it wasn't like an issue. I was worried that I wouldn't have time off. I'd been in my company 10 to 11 years at that time. So I had plenty of time. I was a very senior person in my organization. So it wasn't the, oh, what about work or what about money?
Yeah.
Which made me realize that I was taking that for granted.
Yeah.
Like I make money.
Yeah.
My wife stays home. I make money. I got this. And since then, God has completely snatched that because I haven't been in corporate in a couple of years. But it was the, man, what if I'm not here?
Yes.
And I have 5 children, 3 girls, 2 boys. My daughter at the time, she had just graduated from high school. So it was, I couldn't drive back. I was like, it was things like,
things.
We had to ship the car back and fly back.
Wow.
My kids, you know,
right, because you were in Virginia. Yeah. Yeah.
And we had planned to be there for an extended amount of time because one of my partners was getting married. So I was working from there. It was like, because that was one of the, like you work from home.
Yeah.
I just need internet, right? And be available for certain meetings. So I was planning to be there for 4 weeks anyway. That turned into 7. My kids were in summer school and they had to come back here to physically take the end of the summer school exam. So they had to fly back. It was all these things
chaotic.
You just take for granted. And I'm like, man, and we got here. I can't lift anything because I just had the surgery. So one of my neighbors from our old neighborhood had to meet us at the airport. I can't lift any back. Like I'm watching everybody do stuff.
Everything.
And it's just,
yes,
it's kind of demoralizing to agree. In hindsight, I'm grateful that there are people around in the village that is around.
Oh yeah.
But it was like, man, I'm taking me for granted. And again, I had fallen off my health journey. So my weight was up and all of these things. And I'm just like, man, I'm taking life for granted and something has to change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tried to not beat myself up like you said, because so much is on you as, you know, the head of the household, the husband, the father. But like you said, you start thinking about how so much depends on you. And I was the same way, like work, been in my job 15 years. So all of that just like clicked in, like a short-term disability. Yeah. I'm talking about, man, having good insurance is, I mean, that's a perk. That's a flex. Yeah.
And I was definitely out of what do they call it, out of network, because I'm in Virginia, and our plan was for in network here, so
yeah,
all of that worked out. I mean, I don't even think it costs that much out of pocket. Like God worked everything out.
Oh yeah,
but
man.
It's just a matter of like when your feeble abilities, because that's all we are as humans, is feeble people, you know, and we operate as God allows us to operate. But even when that's snatched away, it should. Show you what's important.
Yeah.
And I realized that a lot of my priorities were completely out of whack.
It motivated me because, you know, mentally I'm like, I got to get back because like I need to, you know. And my wife was like, no, you're moving too fast. Even now people was like, man, you shook back quick. You know, I didn't have a goal for myself, but I was trying to get to a point where I could get my strength back so I could start doing things, because I'm asking my doctor, when can I drive? When can I do this? And they like, you know, they're basing everything on, you know, my blood work, because I mean, I go home one day, I got an appointment the next day.
Yeah.
So after the kidney transplant, you have doctor's appointments literally around the clock. I've just gotten to the point where my appointments are now monthly.
Gotcha.
Because I'll go from like twice a week to once a week, but that went on from like May to like maybe September.
Gotcha.
So that's a whole process.
Yep.
Because I had somebody to drive me to my appointments.
Depending.
Wait, and those appointments are not 5 minutes. So you're in there half the day. It's a process, but in the end, it's worth it.
Yeah. Who are you today that's different then? And I'm not talking about physically, but like mentally, when you wake up today, how different are you and what is that like?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I mean, physically, I'm down like 20 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see the boy running. He got his reels up.
I'm excited about working out now, trying to run. My wife is currently back in the gym and she's making me go with her.
Yeah.
I like to get out and do my little run and stuff, but she's like, no, come go with me to the gym. So I try to go with her a couple of days a week, in the gym, and just trying to focus on the right now and not down the road. And, you know, I'm trying to be more involved with my girls, talking to them. You know, like I said, I got one away in college and one at home. So trying to do more things with them because, like you said, I don't take any of this time for granted.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just trying to stay focused, like you said, because it's so easy to fall off the horse.
Yeah.
You know, and revert back to old things because I got a kidney, but I got to take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could be, you know, need another kidney again because, you know, people think, oh, you get a new kidney. So, you know, you're good. I am good, but I got to take care of that kidney. Yeah. Like I got to still do the things. I got to take my medicine. I got to go to my doctor's appointment. You know, there's, so you still like the journey is not over. What do you say? The marathon continues.
Right.
You still have to get up and still do those things. You can't go out and just pig out and eat, drink and do these type of things because, you know, all those things factor into you. You know, your kidneys can get bad again.
Yeah.
And, you know, on top of, you know, watching your high blood pressure, your diabetes, like I said, you have to check all those things. And it's continuously going to be a fight for you each day.
Yeah. So you mentioned focusing on the right now. And that struck a chord with me because in corporate, I was doing a lot in the now. But selling myself on the fact that I'm trying to set us up for the future. So I am robbing y'all of me because I want us to be better in the future.
Yeah.
And eroding relationships in my own house, not being there, not showing up like I needed to. And I'm thankful for the time that I've been out of corporate because it's allowed me to kind of refocus and reorganize my priorities. But like, what are some of the I guess we could call it bucket list things that are now maybe more appealing to you or more of a, there's more of a need for you to, I got to try this. There's something I'm thinking about. There's this thing. I don't know. Maybe a podcast or something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. Like
a podcast is one. Just telling this story has been like so rewarding for me because you never know how you can affect someone else. And so in talking to people, I mean, I'm a talker, you know, but having people to come to me and say, man, like I'm inspired by you.
That's a wild
has pushed
feeling.
Me to, yeah. You know, and so my wife is also kind of pushing me because, you know, I'll bump stuff off of her and just friends in general. A lot of my friends like, yeah, you should do that. Like you should really do that. I'm like, I'm comfortable in that space, in this space with us. But I'm like doing it myself. So that is on my bucket list. In watching your show, quick shout out to you.
Appreciate you.
Of trying to get three things that I want to do. That was one of them. And so my wife was like, she bought me a laptop for Christmas. And she's like, okay, here you go. What's your excuse now?
Removing excuses.
And so I'm just at the house and she's coming in and even testing out cameras and stuff, and then she even bought me a camera stand, and I'm like she's really, and I'm kind of saying to myself like, okay, like I actually got a cheerleader now, like I don't really have an excuse. So that's one thing. The other thing is trying to tap in more with my daughters. Just brag on them for a second.
That's
so
good.
My youngest just all of a sudden one day said, hey, I just want to go to school and start selling candy. And I'm like, what? This girl just took it upon herself and started selling candy. And so I'm just sitting back going like, all right. So what I do is I'll just be like, I'm just going to put $10 in her little account because maybe she's not going to sell any candy. But she's coming home like, I make $30 a day.
See the plug.
And like telling my wife, like, we got to go to Sam's.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is just a little entrepreneur.
She had the spirit.
And she is excited about it. I get up in the morning because I work at 6. So she gets up for school and I go in the kitchen and she's in there packing her bag. She's like, yeah, they like Snickers. Yeah. And they like this. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, girl, what? And like, sometimes I'll take her to the bus stop. Sometimes I'll take her to school and we'll stop because she likes donuts. And so we get out, and we go, and she's like, I got it. And I'm like,
cash flowing.
And so I'm like, you sure? She's like, no, I got it. I'll pay for it. Or if she'll be like, let's go to McDonald's. Cause her mom will probably say no. And I'm like, I'll go. And so we'll go. And she'd be like, order you something. And I'm like, girl,
it's on me.
So I like that.
Yeah.
And, but I still want to support. She knows that I typically will still be like, I'm gonna pay for it. But I'm just kind of feeding money in her account when she was doing the candy thing. Cause I was like, well, if she don't make nothing, I still want her. And I'm like, this girl. And so we had a little tally. And I think Christmas, she had made like $600.
Dope.
And so my oldest, we got her car. This past fall semester was her first year taking her car back to school. And she got an apartment. And I'm just like,
oof.
But she exceeded everything that I thought and even more.
Yeah.
Grades are great. She's taking care of her apartment. She's taking care of her car. You know, for Christmas break, I was going to fly to New Orleans and ride back with her. This girl was like, nah, Dad, I got it. I'm like, you going to drive from New Orleans back? She's like, wake up at 5, call you. We talked. She's like, I'm getting gas. And, you know, with technology, like, I know her location. This girl drove from New Orleans all the way to Dallas. She stopped in Shreveport, where we're from, spoke with family, had lunch. She was back in Dallas, like, 4:45. I was like, girl, and I told her, I was like, I'm so proud of you because, like, you know, you just did that. And then when she went back last Sunday, packed up the car. Well, that Saturday, I took her to lunch, got an oil change, and she packed up. She's like, all right.
Adulting.
And made it back. Called me. She's like, Dad, I'm back in my apartment. And I'm just in here going like, these girls are really like, I mean, and that made me, my chest stick out because I'm like, it's little things that you say to them, but then when you see them doing it, you're like, they listen.
Yep.
Like they really getting it. So, I mean, I still want to be more, you know, in tune with them, but I'm just proud of them for going above and beyond. I mean, they're good kids anyway. And I'm not just saying that because they're mine, but just seeing them mature and grow makes me feel good because I'm like, you know, these girls are really like doing it. So I just, you know, just want to brag on them. And it's not just me, of course, their moms as well, but it's just, you know, when I'm having these little conversations with them, I see that they're picking up on little nuggets that I'm saying. They're not just sitting there listening and just one out the other. Like, they're really, like, listening. Because I try to make it a point to them to know that, hey, you know, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, like, they know when their mom says no, they kind of come to me and I'll be like,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
What do you want them to know about you? Like, maybe let me ask you different. What do you want your legacy? What do you want them to understand about your legacy? Like, what do you want to be important to them about your legacy, which is conveyed through the conversations and you doing and you showing up? What do you want that final understanding to be?
That they know that I was always there for them.
Yeah.
That they can always count on me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever want them to feel like, man, I don't know who I can call. No, you can always call your dad.
I love it.
You know? And if I'm not able to really give it to give you what it is you want, at least you know you can call me. If we got to just chop it up, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
you know.
We'll
and I think that's the thing now. Like my youngest, she'll text me and she'd be like, "Can we get some cookies? Can we bake some cookies?" And my wife will be sitting there, and then next thing I know, she'll come in there because I'll be like, "I baked the cookies." My wife be like, "You just." You know, it's just little things like that, you know, and I like that too, because that's just our little thing, you know.
It's girls, man.
Yeah, it's just girls. My other one, you know, same thing with her. We're working on her. We're getting her budgeting down with money, but she's doing great and not spending as much money. But as I told her, you know, I don't want to be able to say no to you, but, you know, we gotta work on budgeting money. But she's doing much better with her money. And so, I think just like I said, I want them to always know that I'm always there for them.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Right. We're gonna start to wind down, but I would like to give you an opportunity to maybe articulate a a call to action for fellas that look like us, man, in terms of the importance of just knowing your status of your health?
I would say go to the doctor, fellas. I mean, it could be, like you said, my back hurting. You never know what that could lead to. Go to the doctor. Don't ever put off something that you think is small. Like, it's okay. Go to the doctor. I mean, for me, even now, I have a kidney doctor. I have a heart doctor. I have a regular doctor. And, like, they're all in sync. So when I see one, they relay to each other. But that wasn't, you know, by accident. Like, I had to get to that point.
Yep.
Go to the doctor. I've told all, at least every man that I can talk to make sure that you at least, you know, get your annual checkup like women do. I had a colonoscopy, you know, get all those things done. I just even had cataract surgery since I had the kidney transplant. Jeez. In my left eye. Man, I got a toenail off. I'm going to the doctor.
Same plan, no games.
You know, I'm just, because you just never know where these little coinky dinks may go,
yeah,
or what they could lead to, or what's already lurking in your body that you don't know about. And what you don't know could turn into something much bigger. So I just, you know, want to say that to the fellas. And that's what I would like to talk about in a podcast, just men's health, you know, because I know a lot of times we don't feel comfortable talking about it because we want to look like we're strong. Yeah. You know, we're in the gym, but it's okay to sit down and say, man, you know what? I got this headache. Just, you know, I got this pain in my back or, you know, whatever. I've gotten friends that have had major surgeries as well. So it happens to us. But if you don't go to the doctor, you won't know what's going on with you and you don't want it to be too late.
Yeah. One thing that I would add to that is you mentioned the little things. Sometimes those little things are already big, but we just lied to ourselves so long that now it's we tolerate it. So don't mistake your ability to tolerate a pain for the pain not being something serious, because that's absolutely what I was doing for years. It would be like consistently, I just say my back is out, and he should be like, it would come from, like, I could lift weights and I have a problem, reach for a pot.
Yeah.
It feels like everything going out, and I'd be like, man, I just need to lay down. I'll be kind of dragging around for a couple of days, but through that, my tolerance was getting higher.
Yeah.
My problem wasn't getting smaller.
Right.
So when it erupted, kind of literally, it was a really big deal. So stop lying to yourself, fellas. Stop lying to yourself, man. Well, it's been a pleasure catching up with you, bro.
And yeah, man.
I look forward to holding you accountable to get your podcast off the ground, because one thing that you won't know how to, like, we went live before we started. He's like, man, I never done it. I said, you never done it until you do it.
Right.
Never done it until you do it. And if you do it with the right intent, which I know you will, that one person or those million people that you touch are all going to be worth it.
Well, I know we're wrapping it up, but I just want to say in closing, like, thank you for this platform. Like, just, and not even with me being on it, just so many other episodes have helped me. I was talking to my brother today. He actually watches it.
Dope.
And so it's helping, guys. But thank you for having this as a safe place for me to talk and even come and get knowledge, because that's kind of how I ended up here. And it's motivating me to also kind of strike out and do it myself. So kudos to you, man. Dope, appreciate dope. That.
Flowers accepted. And that's new for me. I don't like people saying that I did good stuff. I don't know why. Anyhow. I want to shout out my wife's, her doings as always. Love, Keisha J. That's where you can find. And I got the book, people. Got the book handy this time. Her first in the series of children's book. This one is called The Chocolate Princess Collection, Volume 1, Princess Mocha. As you can see, I know the listeners can't, but it'll be a link where you can get some more information on that. But lovekeishaj.com is where those books are sold. Great feedback. Really good read for, I would say, young women of color, 5 to maybe 12, 13, maybe 14. Just a good lesson, good read, well thought out. And I'm not just saying it because she's my wife and she's dope. Also, Love Keisha J Studios is where you can find her, her whereabouts. She makes jewelry, she makes clothes, she makes home goods, some home sprays and some other. I need to get a better handle on what the product breadth is at this point, but very proud of her. And I'm working to get her back into her creative space. She sacrificed and went back into corporate America in the health industry. So
trying that's to get, a good industry.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's a you gonna be at work industry. So the snowstorm, y'all gonna be here, and if the snows while you're here, y'all can just spend the night. We appreciate you guys. You can just make sure you're here. Ain't no calling outs, but I think that there's definitely a higher calling, and that was interrupted because of my changes, my shift out of corporate, and you know, still trying to figure things out. So that's why I need you guys to watch this podcast and listen and rate it and share it, because it does help. There is a business around it. I do it out of a pure place. But if there's some money to grab, put some in my hands. Let me get my hands around it. But that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.